Turn to our scripture reading, the second one from Matthew 16, reading verses 21 to 28. That's where Jesus foretells his death and his resurrection. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
Thanks, Ivan. Good morning, all. And as Margie has mentioned, I'll echo the happy Mother's Day to the mothers here. And also, as Margie's done through the form of the reflection, is a wonderful opportunity to value individuals' identity, people that have been a part of our journey. My mum passed away a number of years ago now, and I'll make reference to that in just a little while. But it's one of those things, this particular occasion does allow us to take those precious moments to value. And sometimes, well, for me particularly, it is personal space, as we all appreciate, but really value some things about the role of my mother in regards to where I am now. And so I'll share a little bit of that a little bit later on. I wanted to mention a couple of things out of the newsletter, which Leon made some comments about some things, iron and clay particularly. You'll notice in your newsletter there's an envelope with a little sticker on the side that says iron and clay. We would like to be in a position to actually bless their ministry. It is an itinerant ministry this group has. So they're very, in some ways, appreciative and dependent on the supportive aspect of communities that they move into. So they'll be with us for next weekend, and we will provide what's called a retiring offering. And you can use that envelope with a little gift that you might like to just present to them, and we'll provide an avenue to do that in the celebration so that we can bless their ministry in a very tangible fashion. One of the things that when I was contacted by the group, would we consider having them, that very, very short notice, and having received their ministry in a couple of other churches where we've been, I felt it was really good. And I know you'll appreciate their ministry, as Leon's mentioned this morning, and the multiple dimensions thereof. And the other thing, prayer-wise, and we do invite people into that prayer space on Monday evenings, and be assured it is usually physically quite warm at the back of the chapel by the time we get here at 5:45. There's a wonderful opportunity to enter into a space where our faith is exercised in a way that it can't be in any other place. I will consistently encourage people into spaces of corporate prayer. Corporate celebration and worship is good, that's a part of it as well, but the prayer space has got qualities that are somewhat sometimes undefinable, and you can't plan them, you can't program them. God shows up most often in the most powerful fashion in prayer gatherings. Now, we love worship. People love worship. It's great. Some exciting things happen. People feel good when they go away. But I've discovered that the most powerful things happen in that place where our singular focus is a heart-to-heart connection with God. So I will continue to encourage you into that space on Monday evenings, and particularly as you read the newsletter, there's a wonderful opportunity to connect with specific life situations, people, health, travel, events that are coming up, and we'll endeavour to keep you, as it were, giving you that information that can fuel your faith and stir you into those places where together we are believing for these things. We pray believing, which is, in that context, that term means an activated faith. It's not just head stuff. You've actually got a faith that says, this is what we're praying for. This is what we're believing for. This is what we're actually looking for. This is what we're anticipating. So there endeth the amplified version of the announcements. And to all our travellers, David and Chris head off this week. Peru. I saw one of the roads in Peru on a program the other night, and I'm thinking, I don't think I ever want to go to Peru. There's not even an overtaking lane, which I really appreciated on the way home last night. Everybody could pass us. But anyway, travel well. David and Chris and all of our travellers continue to be. I mean, we just value the fact that we're free to do these things and our best focus. Okay, let's looking this morning, I'm going to try and blend together Mother's Day and the passage that we heard this morning. Do you reckon it's possible? No. What about last week's passage? Because that's the one I'm going to go back to. For those who are visitors, don't panic. I'm going to put it up on the screen and you can see what we were wrestling with last Sunday. So, anyway, Mother's Day, special occasion, so a special tribute to my mum. This is not my words, by the way. This is a little sort of humorous tribute. Things my mum taught me. All right, so this is the visual to help you. Oops, are we responding? There it is. That's my mum. Just in case you're wondering who the little lady is in the picture. Oh, I've got to turn the lights off. Excuse me for a minute. Hello, Leon, how are you? I'm already there. Everybody's still looking after me. It's so good. Things my mum taught me. My mum taught me about religion. You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet. My mum taught me logic. Because I said so. That's why. Mum taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. My mum taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? You can never let that. That's an old one, but it still keeps me chuckling. Some of those things, I can actually recall versions of them my mum actually did say to me. Now, how am I going to achieve this impossible task of connecting the passages that we had this morning, because you can remember both of them were pretty well the same sort of narrative, as Jesus explained to his disciples. Said, you know, it's almost like we've gone back to a week before Easter, isn't it? We've actually gone back further than that, because we go back to the passage that I shared with our folk last Sunday, which was a passage in Luke 14. Now, for those here, you can possibly recall this, and I'm not going to go through it all again, but I just valued so much. I valued so much feedback, you know, and people saying, now you got me thinking. And often, do you come to church expecting me to serve up all the answers? It's not going to happen. There are just things. And for those who read the image on the screen, as we had communion, for those who love the Lord and, did you read it? Want to follow him. Yeah. Now the important thing is, want to keep following. You want to keep following. Did you get that? Because following, to be a Jesus follower, is an active, continuous journey, continuous process. It's a continuous event. There's always something that the Lord is actually taking us into that we've never been into before. And he's always very, very keen to make that clear to us. And these two terms last week came as a result of a whole bunch of people following Jesus. They wanted to follow him, but he turned and he spoke to them, and these are the words he spoke. He turned around and he didn't say, "Oh, it's so great. Look at this crowd. It's fantastic." He says to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Isn't that a great Mother's Day message? You're wondering how I'm going to connect it, and so am I. But there it is. There is that reference. And a little bit later, the image on the right-hand side of the screen there, Jesus says to them, "So therefore, if any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." And people came up to me afterwards, and that was a great response. To be quite honest, I've never had that level of response to a message ever. Which means a really, really good thing. We got hit by what Jesus said. You know, people come up to me and say, "I couldn't agree with what you said." Well, there wasn't any of that. There were people saying to me, "This is how I've worked it through. This is how I'm understanding one of the toughest statements that Jesus ever said." And so people put to me, and I didn't have the answer, which is good, isn't it? Okay, why did Jesus use such terminology? And I endeavoured to give some explanation last week, and to be quite honest, my journey continues. I'm going to keep wrestling with that. And one of the things that I deliberately did this week, I wrestled with Mother's Day in the light of that statement. What do I do as a Jesus follower do with my relationship, and I do believe I endeavoured to put this out there last Sunday, what do I do with the relationships that are most precious to me? My relationship with Margie, my relationship with my siblings, my relationship with my children, my grandchildren. What do I do in regards to my relationship with Jesus and this wonderful connection of life relationships? And I have to be honest that it is actually the edgiest bit of my faith. People come up to me and say, "What do you think of gay marriage?" I'll give you my opinion, which can, in my head, is fairly clearly defined. Don't bother to ask me afterwards, because I'm going to be talking about Mother's Day, by the way. All right, my relationship with my mother, and where did God work through my mother to give me an understanding of his love? But this is one of the reasons why I believe Jesus turned and spoke to this crowd so concisely. And somebody asked me, why did Jesus use that such a strong word? Well, a couple of possibilities, so as you can keep working with it, you and me together. And so he said, I believe there's a possibility it was a shock word. I don't think it was a shock word, where you just say a word and everybody thinks, "What's he saying?" You know, it was possibly more saying a word that these people were actually familiar with. So Jesus in Matthew 5:43 says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy." You heard that one? And then he goes on to say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Okay, so it goes on. But the bit that they were familiar with, this population of God's people, this nation of Israel, this people who are coming to work out what it means that God's actually introducing a new covenant, that he says to them, "You've heard it said, you love your neighbour and you hate your enemy." They are familiar with this very clear line of demarcation. You're either a friend or you are either a neighbour or you are an enemy. They're just clear cut. So that's probably the best one that I've heard. But it also, parallel, in partnership with that, sort of what I feel helps me to understand the strength of what this term that Jesus is using,
is this ability, this design, this style that Jesus had. It didn't matter who he was communicating with, crowd, his disciples, or an individual, he had the capacity to do what we call cut to the chase. Let's get right to the point. All right? I'm not waffling on too much. I'm trying to get to the point. Right? Jesus did that extremely well. He cut to the chase. And so in this context, he was getting right to the centre of what it means to actually follow him. And then, of course, last Sunday I had some valuable assistance from people who said, oh, this particular translation helped me a whole lot. Okay, so this is, I think Marlene mentioned, by the way, when I get to the end of this, I don't start this week's message, this is it, all right? This is a refresher, a rerun, which I felt would be really, really valuable this morning. And I'll get to the Mother's Day bit in a moment. Those who come to me, the Good News Bible, cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love father, mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters and themselves as well. Okay? So that's really, really helpful. One of the valuable things about this sort of translation exercise, some people like this one, some people prefer that one, some people don't like the way they frame this one. The various translations can help us working with some of these really, really sort of penetrating terms and statements that Jesus makes. The Good News Bible was particularly helpful, and whoops, sorry, I must have missed one. Oh, there it is, there's the Message. And the Message says, anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own life, can't be my disciple. And then, of course, as you would appreciate, I enjoy the Amplified version because it has more words. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, and then this bit in brackets, may help in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God, he cannot be my disciple. So it's amplified, which means in our context, it just gives you more information to work with. Some people find that helpful. Other people say, look, take me back to the simple version, and that'll be very helpful for me. But the thing, I want to put it out there so you can work with it. Because it won't be just me working this through. It'll be all of us. If we want to keep following Jesus, these are the types of things, as much as there are issues to deal with in working out our faith, this one is actually at the core. Is my relationship with Jesus primary or secondary? Or thirdary? Or fourdary? Whatever that you call the ones that come further down the list. You know? That was a flash thought, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. Totally irrelevant to what we're talking about, so I best go back to my script. The other word that was used in the narrative from Luke 14 was the term renounce. And again, the translations help us. Okay, so this is the Good News version. In the same way concluded Jesus, none of you can be my disciples unless you give up everything you have. Now, that one's pretty broad. And you've got to sort of work out, now, how's that going to apply to me? How's that going to be worked out in my context? And then the Message version, simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, which is probably, this is one that helps me, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciples. All right? And then the Amplified version, which even with its extra words doesn't do a whole lot for me, but it might be helpful for you. Luke 14:33. So then none of you can be my disciples who does not carefully consider the cost and then for my sake give up all his own possessions. So those verses I did rerun very, very deliberately because a couple of reasons, because I appreciated so much the way in which people evidenced the fact that we had engaged that word together. All right? And I know there's lots of portions of the word we've still got to engage. But I think this one, in light of my understanding of following Jesus, this one is one of those really cutting, edgy ones for all of us. That we're consistently weighing it up. Where does this life situation I now find myself in, how does it reflect? How does it portray the priority relationship that I have with Jesus? You okay with that? For those who are a guest, hopefully that was helpful for you. It's great to have you with us. But I did sort of take license to go back because of just how critical those statements are. And we see the term, even when we go over the weeks ahead and read that narrative on the script. You know, if you love the Lord Jesus and you want to keep following, not just read the statement that says and want to follow. Oh yeah, I made a declaration of faith in 1968 on August the 3rd I did. And that's where it stopped. No, I love the Lord Jesus and I want to keep following. So I want to see where these relationships fit in the sense of evidencing the fact that number one priority of my life is to stay on track with Jesus. You all right with that? You'll be pleased to know my heart rate hasn't risen yet. Thanks for spending that time with me. Hopefully it helps us all as we engage the Word and encourage each other in the Lord to keep following, because it is the greatest challenge and the most rewarding challenge that anybody can ever step into. And I don't mind reflecting back again. It was August the 3rd, 1968, when I gave my life to the Lord. And when I came out the front of this chapel, an older gentleman by the name of Mr. Lean came up to me, put his arm up around my shoulder, because he was only a little short bloke and I was really tall. Well, I wasn't actually. But he said to me, looked straight at me, he says, "This is a decision you'll never regret." Isn't that true? I have not regretted making that decision. I've regretted other decisions that I've made since. But the good thing is, the Lord's made wonderful provision to deal with that regret. Because if sin's been attached to it, I'm able to confess that and know the wonder of this celebration that keeps reminding me. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses me more than once. Mother's Day. Here we are. Is that good? Yes. It is, isn't it? Now, how do I connect those two? Perhaps an illustration of this decision-making process that says the Lord's call on my life is stronger than my devotion to my mum. And I didn't realise how strong that devotion was. Well, perhaps I should frame it another way. I came to appreciate during this week just how strong her love for me was, and the sense of how strong my tie was with her. And probably even in our marriage, Margie's felt some of that, you know, the tension. Not as if Margie had issues with mother-in-law or anything like that, but you discover that ties, relational ties within your family can continue for quite some time, even as you're developing other relationships, such as moving from the family context into a marriage. So this morning, a little bit of self-indulgence, and I'm not going to do a Bill Shorten on you and start crying or anything, but it is something I just really, really valued. Just a few moments this week, and I captured my thoughts, and I said, "Lord, that's amazing." And I just treasure so much in many ways. It is a life illustration of what he said. If I've got to be prepared in my relationship with him to have as the priority his calling, his direction, his prompting, what he's taking me into. And it may mean a sense of disconnecting from my family. Can you understand where I'm going there? Hopefully you can. Really briefly this morning. And you'll believe that when you see it. But my mum finished her earthly journey. My goodness, 6 years ago? 7 years ago. Yeah, it was a bit over 6.5 years ago. And I believe my mum had a faith in the Lord Jesus that had become very entangled by life circumstances. But it was clear enough, particularly at the end when I spent some very precious moments with my mum. It was clear enough for me to say, I've got a great assurance about seeing my mum again. She's in the presence of the Lord as I look forward to being in that same place. And Margie referred to the celebration of a life that we were a part of yesterday. What an amazing celebration it was. And to have that sense of confidence. And I think I made a personal comment about the fact this lady loved cooking. And I believe there's a MasterChef kitchen in heaven. Did you know that? And there's this most amazing woodworking shop that I'm going to be in. And if you want to come there, that's totally okay. There'll be a whole bunch of us there. We may not be singing hymns because they do recommend that when you're using machinery that you focus on what you're doing, not singing about something else. But anyway, you get my drift. Where was I? I'm very, very confident in my beautiful conversations with my mum in her latter days, even before her mind started to move into vacant space, which you can probably understand what that means. And it's a precious thing. And earlier this week, it was triggered off actually by a conversation we had at our casserole dinner last Sunday. Wasn't that a bit of a treat? For those who are a guest this morning, sorry, we don't do it every week. That's only first Sunday of the month or something? That's only when Maureen and Helen decide. Is that right? Anyway, yes, it was delicious. And the fact that they've got big plates in the hall out there is a really good thing because your first serve can be adequate. Anyway, we're sitting at the table and somebody made mention of the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know... No, it wasn't. It was the Shepherd's Psalm. That's how the conversation went. And the Shepherd's Psalm, and for some reason, it stuck in my head. Shepherd's Psalm. You know, we're all familiar with the Shepherd's Psalm, aren't we? Anyway, it just stuck there. It wouldn't go away. Shepherd's Psalm. Psalm 23. And I wasn't rattling off the terms or anything like that. But I came to Monday morning and started to gather my thoughts around this morning. And I just came to realise. I'd once heard a statement that goes something along the lines of, you know, when God wants to do something special in our lives, he usually brings the specialness by a person. By personal delivery, an individual comes into your life. That's usually how he does it, you know. You haven't seen much writing on the wall recently, haven't you? Apart from up there. You know, but most times the messages that he wants to communicate, I mean, the most powerful one obviously is Jesus. But in this day, if he wants to take a message into another person's life, he usually takes a person. And I suddenly realised my mum was a great shepherd. And particularly in those formative years and into the time of my early adulthood, because Maggie and I think I was 23, 24 when we married, and still at home these days. That's a common feature, but in those days it was most uncommon. But, you know, I just realised that so much of my mum's influence on my life was like the Good Shepherd. She certainly set the path for me on more than one occasion. And one of the reasons why I connected with this church was because we lived over the road there in the old house. And my mum would line up six children and set them across for Mr. Collins to look after. So she did that more than once in setting my course in a literal sense. More than once I was conscious of the fact that she was watching over me. She was an amazing shepherd of six children, pretty well did it on her own. And I know of many mums that did that in my own mum's generation. There are many times she sat with me. She stilled my heart, provided shelter, shielded me, signed for me, And I can remember the day I signed my apprenticeship as a carpenter. There was my mum, who was sort of making sure I signed on the right line. Now I've got a wife that does it for me. And I know that my mum set me up to more than one banqueting table. But probably the most profound thing came to me again yesterday as we sat in that celebration situation. I thought, my mum actually led me through a number of those dark valleys. Because I had been through, and I can remember in grade two, there was a young fella in our class. I can't quite remember his name. I can almost picture him. But he developed a cancer and battled the cancer for some time in that second year and passed away. And for a grade tour, what do you do with that? And I thought, I reckon my mum walked me through that somehow, just helped me to understand what had happened. And she did that more than once, walked me through that shadowy space called grief. I can't remember the words she said, but it's like as if I always knew she was there. I mentioned to you before how I believe that there are, when the Lord's wanting to do something, and particularly in a person's life, he wraps the message up in an identity in a person. And I believe my mum has done that. And so, again, I treasure the opportunity to reflect and value that, and also know that so much of the working wiring and inner dynamics of my life is consistently influenced by other people and who they are in the grace of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing that here God's people, you and I, have some amazing qualities about who we are. And as we walk it and live it in those relational contexts, and knowing that I'm living, Margie reminded us this morning again of just how we do all things. We do all things conscious that we're living our life as unto the Lord. We'll be amazed just how much is actually impressed into another person's life just simply by the beauty of the grace of God. That doesn't need a fanfare, doesn't need accolades, doesn't need affirmation. It's simply by being who we are in Christ that deep impressions are made. This day provides a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And as I say to mums here, happy Mother's Day. I trust that you are blessed with just a deep knowledge of just how much you are a treasure to God, in the hands of God, and for his amazing purposes. And for those of us who have the opportunity to reflect, maybe way back, it's an amazing thing how much we do store and how much there is sometimes still to work through, but how much is there that comes with a richness, an insight, a perception, a capacity to see God's actually been working right from the very beginning. And his delight is when I just keep walking with him. You might like to stand as we pray together. Gracious Father, we do again just give you thanks for moments, particularly in this place, Father, because it's a place where we do know we have an opportunity to focus, we have an opportunity to centre, to centre our thoughts, to centre our attitudes, to centre our feelings, to centre our recollections and put them all in this amazing space where we're conscious that you're actually working in us and through us. You've already done a work and you'll continue a work and it'll come to completeness. And Lord, you do this so often. So often you're doing it through these people connections that we have. and particularly within the context of those relationships that are precious to us. And Father, we know that not always are those really close relationships working well. But Father, we thank you for, we thank you for the ones where we can see good things have happened. And Lord, we just bless you and thank you for that shaping influence, for that recreating work that you're doing in each one of us. And every little detail of who we are, you are giving attention to. And so, Father, we stand amazed in your presence, blessed by generations that have come before, that have known your blessing on their lives, and they've transferred it, they've lived it and given it over and imparted it, and it's had an impact on our lives. And Lord, we just want to be, we just know one of the fullness of the blessing that is ours in Christ, that together we might again make this powerful impact on generations that are following us. Because Father, that's just that wonderful design you've made, that you bless our lives in order that we would be a blessing to others. So we present ourselves again, Lord. We present ourselves again. And Lord, ask that as you take hold of our lives, we say, Lord, take my life and let it be fully given over to you, consecrated. Lord, our relationship with you is right at the top. First point of reference is our relationship with you, Lord Jesus. By your Spirit, Lord, bring about your every good purpose in us and through us. To the glory of the Father, I pray. Amen.